The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there, and welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and, I believe, Dan DuBose. Dan, are you on yet?
I am.
Okay, welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with the Syndication Math version with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan DuBose. Sorry for the technical difficulties we had in getting connected here today. You know, this rarely happens. It's amazing any of it works anytime, but in the year and a half now I've been doing this show from overseas, it's I can count on one hand the number of issues. So I applaud the production staff there at KSEV, and I guess the equipment here and there works most of the time. Dan and I were talking just before the show and told him we needed to hang up and get connected, and then I struggled to get a piece of equipment to connect. Anyway, well, as normal, the Sunday show that we undertake each week is to discuss real estate private partnership syndications. We do have a specific transaction we're going to discuss today, but here, I guess, to do a little bit of housekeeping, I want to make sure to reiterate the disclaimer that just because you listen to this show today and you like what you hear, or maybe you don't like what you hear, we don't become your accountant, either Dan or I, or our respective firms, just because you tuned in. Further, we do not sell investments. We are accountants, and we simply opine as to the math that we see on these types of transactions, or the math related to assorted tax strategies, and you know, that may or may not fit your specific facts and circumstances, because we don't know who you are unless you're already a client. But we do have a way that you can have us consider working with you. If you'll go to our website, beaplanner.com, that's beaplanner.com, and top right on that web page you'll see a link for intake forms. If you'd be kind enough to fill those out and submit them, and then right next to that link you'll see schedule a call, and we will be happy to take a look at your information and try to figure out if we might sync up with what you're seeking to do. And I know, you know, after yesterday's show, we talked a lot about Roth conversions, and I had more than a few people send me messages or sign up for phone calls that want to get out of their pre-tax, typically IRAs. There's a lot of people that know enough about the retirement plan choices that have at least invested in private partnerships using an IRA, but it really struck a chord. And I guess the concept of watching your account balance go down in your current accounts, if you're invested in the stock market, is, you know, somewhat daunting. And I guess if you're 32 years old, it's one thing, but if you're an old person like Dan and I, you know, I'm 62, and Dan won't tell us how old he is, but it's older than me. But in any event, you know, buddy, it's almost go time for people our age, right? And so this big drop is somewhat disconcerting. And I guess if I look across our client base, the ones that are worrying are the ones that are not invested in these multifamily transactions. And in fact, I've got a couple of clients that are in transactions that are getting ready to either refinance or sell. And of course, there's considerable distributions that'll be made to the partners. And, you know, whether it's good times or bad, people need a place to live. And in the current environment, it's amazing how that the apartment business has done much better than I think anybody, even some of us in the business, had an inkling. And the single family market is where the real chaos is, if you want to call it that. And there's no question that market's already showing the stress of the inflationary trends that we're fighting, and then increased interest rates. You know, the number of mortgage applications has declined substantially. The number of listings has gone up. Sellers that were trying to wait and get to the absolute top of the mountain here are probably not going to make it. And so anyway, the new renter, I guess, is the type that might have bought a home if you back up a few years, but now they're priced out of the market. Even now, until prices come way back down, they're typically going to rent an apartment. And so that creates a steady stream of prospects to fill up all the apartments. And then combined with the fact that there haven't been significant construction of new units. But in any event, Dan, did you want to add anything to that before we go to our first break?
No.
Okay, well, that was short and brief, and when we come back, we're going to go ahead and talk about an offering that's still available. It is a 506B, so unless you are already connected with this syndicator, theoretically, per SEC rules, you can't ring them up now and invest. That said, this is a good one to learn on, and it also has some decent metrics that you would be looking at on a potentially a future deal. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and my guest today, Dan DuBose, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Nighttime into the day, the sun about to see it on the woman. They do the sun about the night.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. And I happen to know that that's one of your favorite songs, Dan DuBose. Is that true? Somebody told me that.
But I like it. Yes, thanks.
Anyway, so we were talking before the break, you know, the apartment space is still pretty hot. And, you know, I'm looking at a plethora of articles that I snagged this past week that, you know, I don't know. It almost makes you want to stay in the bed in the morning when you read some of the news. J.P. Morgan sees oil at $380 a barrel on a worst-case scenario if Russia were to cut production. $380 a barrel, and I've forgotten what that translates into price per gallon, but let's just say this is more than let's see, what's it at now, about 130?
That'd probably be about $12 a gallon.
It'd have to be if we're at 130 now a barrel, just given the extrapolation. And then, of course, we talked yesterday about the psychological effect of, you know, peeking at your 401k statement. And I guess I'd never really thought about it, but apparently, according to some studies that have been done, the more you check it, the less likely you are to generate higher returns, which I'm not sure I agree. I mean, I guess I didn't do the study, and of course studies always have a way of settling on the data that kind of proves the hypothesis, but I don't know. I'll take them for their word. I would say if you're invested in the market generally, your odds of achieving higher returns is less than if you're in some private assets, specifically private real estate partnerships involving apartments, which is what we see. And I tell you what I do see, and this was borne out by another article we had in the ethosphere, I guess called the internet, this week, is that multifamily buyers and sellers, there's a couple camps here now that have developed where they're either choosing to act now, they're rushing to market, or they're standing down because they realize the headwinds that we've already entered into. And, you know, if you're a seller thinking, again, it's just like on the single family front, the listing volume went way up. I suspect there's some multifamily sellers that are sitting on debt in their current metrics where they've got to refinance sometime in the next 2-3 years. Well, you know, you're seeing what's going on with interest rates. When do you want to refinance or try to? You want to do it now? Or you want to wait until the rates get up into the, I don't know, where you think they're headed on an apartment building loan, Dan? What's the highest we've seen in a while?
Well, somewhere around 6 or 7% if you were to do it today.
Yeah, well, I was going to say it depends on the type of debt. You know, you can still get interest-only loans for the, you know, high fours, low fives, and I think the agency debt fixed-type terms are I don't know if they're hit six yet. They're on their way. And, of course, if you talk about a 3 or 4 year view heading out further, I don't know. I think you'd look at 6 or 7 as a gift. Compared to where they might end up. But that's all conjecture. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of weird stuff going on right now that kind of counteracts, and I don't know. I know that money will get made going up and going down. The shrewd operators find ways of offsetting cost. And, of course, you know, with costs usually come increased rents. In these markets, because if it's inflation related, obviously the cost of most things is going up. It's not just the cost of an apartment owner's staff and supplies, etc. So I don't know, but I think the fact that the buyers and sellers are kind of at a crossroads here, and this is always for the moment. I mean, you know, the further you get down the road, well, you know, there's opportunities that pop up and you know, things look attractive from one vantage point or another. It's not like the whole market just grinds to a halt. There's always people that are looking to trade and rebalance portfolios, et cetera. But all this uncertainty and chaos does create opportunity at the investor level, not just the syndicator level. And for those of you that have pre-tax money in your 401k accounts at the office, or you've got IRAs and you're looking at what's going on with the deficit, you believe like we do that the tax rates are going to go higher. They have to go higher if we're going to pay the interest on the debt much past the year 2008 or so. There's just no question. It's math. You know, you can look at how much discretionary budget remains, and it's not much. And of course, that's even when you talk about the deficit spending, it's still not much. And so, you know, the think of the tax brackets, as we said on yesterday's show, they're on sale, and that they'll be on sale until either 112026 gets here, or until Congress or the president is successful in getting all or part of his Build Back Better agenda. Understand that all the Build Back Better tax provisions are embedded into the TY23 budget proposal. Not that that has a prayer of being implemented by Congress. I think Senator Manchin and Sinema both, if I recall, is that correct, Dan? Both of them put the kibosh on, on that as stated. So, you know, I don't think we have to worry about the entirety of those tax provisions, but there's no question that part of them are in play. And I know that, you know, the senators feel differently about, you know, pieces of it. It's when you look at it in the whole that they don't like what they see. But I know Manchin has, for one, has favorably viewed raising corporate rates. And I'm not sure about the individual side. I don't know that I recall seeing anything on the individual rate front, but bottom line is, as we've discussed almost every week for the past month or two, the tax brackets will need to double, at least double, some say more. The CBO report issued back in 2009 had it over, I guess it's about 150%, and so there's no question that if you've got retirement money, you're under the age of 80, I'm going to say, and I'm not saying that facetiously, I'm saying it based on math, you're a candidate to convert all or part of those funds over at today's relatively low brackets. I say relatively, they're probably the lowest in our lifetime if you're, say, under the age of 55, right, Dan? What do you think the cutoff is?
Yes, there. The highest rates were back in, I guess, 1980, when things really started coming back to lower rates when Ronald Reagan took over and finally got the rates down.
Right, the Tax Reform Act of 1986.
Yeah.
You and I both, well, you were a little bit ahead of me, but I know we had started our practice back in 85 or late 84. I was working before that in the tax department at Arthur Anderson. And so we did have a few years with really high tax brackets. But generally, it's a true statement that in our lifetime, the tax rates have never been lower. And if you're going to take advantage of, just talk about Roth conversions in a vacuum. Forget about investing your money first in real estate private partnerships, which is really the sweetest strategy you might consider, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. But just with regard to Roth conversions, you've got dollars sitting in your IRA that's held by Charles Schwab, as an example. And even if you pay, let's say you've got, you know, $200,000, let's make it easy math, you've got $200,000 sitting in that account, your cost to convert in the current tax brackets is significantly lower than it's going to be later. Okay. And, you know, I'm going to suggest that you'll pay at least 100 to 150% more in tax. That's pretty striking when you think about it. When you think about And I'm using a fairly low number for most of our clients, but when you say I've got $200,000 in your retirement plans, you really don't. You really may have, 80 to 90 if these tax brackets go up as much as they need to cover
don't forget
everything.
Your partnership with the IRS.
Well, that's right. It's that silent partnership, or is I heard Self-Made Millionaires platform discuss on their show yesterday about having that the relationship where you start dating the IRS. You'd have to listen to the show to get it. And they don't understand just how wrong they are in their analysis because they're thinking that you're getting rid of that bad potential spouse called the IRS early in that relationship because they're telling you to rip the Band-Aid off, go ahead and pay the IRS. What they don't understand is that's going to be like your most craziest nightmare ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. They're going to keep coming back. And every 5, 6, 7 years as you exit the transactions you invest in these private partnerships, they're going to demand even more money, right? And so it's a crazy relationship. And that platform, which is one of the longest running old school travel agent, quote unquote, type platforms, they act like they don't understand the long-term tax cost of investing. It's not just long-term. It's really the short-term tax cost. It's the long-term wealth creation that really gets the wrong end of that relationship. And I'm going to suggest to you that you want to avoid that dance partner, if you will, altogether, because you don't have to pay your money, your tax and penalty to the IRS to get control of your money. And if you care to execute a Roth conversion where you tell the partner involved, the silent partner, in other words, the IRS, this is how much you're going to get, period. And we'll do a Roth conversion. And the beauty of it is once you've invested in real estate private partnerships, we can apply discounts to value, to fair value, to determine the fair market value, which is the remaining portion you'll pay tax on. So it'll be somewhere in the 30 to 50% range that'll remain. And so that means, apply that same logic, that you'll pay that much less in tax, somewhere in the 50 to 70% range less tax if you get your money invested into these types of transactions before you do the conversion. That is significant when you talk about the rest of your life, the longevity risk. Most of us are targeted by IRS life expectancy tables to live out past 80 for sure, 80 to 80 or 85 to 86 for us males, 87, 88 for the females. You've got a long time that your money has to outlast your life, or you've got far fewer choices, obviously, as you get into your, quote, golden years. So, you want to get control of the money, get it over to a 401, a self-directed 401, then let us work with you to optimize how much we convert each year. It's not usually optimal to go convert the whole account balance because then you'll be right back up into the highest tax rate, and that's not the best strategy. We'd like to see you convert a portion each year, trying to stay within the bounds of the 22 to 24% bracket, maybe 32, maybe the top bracket, the 37, which actually would be approximately 40%, 40.8, if you were in that bracket. But when you compare that to being in the 88% bracket, which is what the CBO report suggested back in 2009, before the public debt was over the 100% mark. They projected that wouldn't occur until 2040 in their report. You may be surprised to learn that it happened a while ago, and that last year we're at 137% of GDP. It's crazy. Okay, let's take a second break, and I promise when we come back we will be discussing transactions, a San Antonio transaction, and we'll go through some of the math on it to give you some idea of what to look for in these transactions. We'll be right back in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DeBose.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No, no. That feeling good was easy love when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to know.
Okay, welcome back to the third segment of this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. And the transaction that Dan and I are going to break down a bit today is a San Antonio transaction, and it is a 506B transaction, which means now that it's already out in the capital raise phase, or well within the capital raise phase, I believe it started back in May, you can't walk up late to the game unless you've already been in touch with this syndicator, you've been on their portal. This is a syndicator that I suggested to our listeners. They might want to sign up and get in position where when I talk about these transactions after they're already out, you're still able to potentially take advantage of them. And this is one that Pilot Legacy, that's you can find their portal, their website at pilot-legacy.com. And if you'll click their investor tab, you'll see, or the investor link there at the top, you'll have an ability to go sign up and be in a position the next time a project is announced to possibly participate. Let's see here. Dan, I've got the PPM in front of me. I'm assuming you do in case we quiz each other. And then I think the first issue that we probably ought to identify is how large of a property this is. Do you recall the number of units right off the
253 units. buying it at about 180,000 each, isn't it?
I thought it was like 160, wasn't it? Or was it 180?
Yeah, 159,000.
Yeah, it's a Class B, I believe, is how they're portraying this property.
With
that many units, it's got some scale, which is, you know, we definitely look for 150 on up type units. We just, or a number of units, we just find that costs are able to be allocated at a, you know, large enough, over a large enough group of units where things tend to have better results. There's opportunities to raise NOI, I think, more effectively, et cetera. It's not quite as heavy a lift as if you're trying to do this with 40 or 50 units, which can still be done. It's just obviously the results aren't as intriguing, I guess might be the right word. And so the model, the business plan that this group is going to execute involves a five-year hold to do the rehab and
a plan
and get the NOI up, get the NOI up. And so did the 159, does that include the, what is it, 2.8 million, I think, or 3.8? How much was the rehab?
It does include improvements.
Okay, good. So that's a good number on a Class B, although it's interesting, it's not that far off. Of course, it's a different submarket. But you recall Pilot Legacies, the group that did the Stanton, or is doing the Stanton, at over in Lockhart, about an hour away, actually. It's not far. And they were, well, it's yet to be determined that they'll actually hit their all-in target of 182, I believe it was, 182,000 on a Class A, because they're just now at the doorstep of getting the second phase off the ground where they're building, you know, from the ground up. I believe it's 170-plus units in addition to the 100 and they're going to build 132. They've got 144 already on the ground and doing well, it appears, already passing out distributions in accordance with their pro formas from last year's close late in the year. So in terms of their business plan, I mean, we've read this many, many times as we look at these transactions. They're basically going to, you know, take this complex. They've identified issues that some are cosmetic, some are management issues, where they will take the property over, make it more beautiful, make the NOI, more importantly, more beautiful. In other words, they're going to work on raising the NOI. And just in a very high level view, they're projecting a return to the investors of, let's see, it'd be about $277,000 for a $100,000 investment by a passive partner. That's a pretty healthy multiplier. That's right on the nose for what we look for. We look for a 0.0463 per month equity multiple on average over that 60-month term, and that's your number right there, 2.77. So at least their target comports to the math that we like to see. And of course, the 277 includes the original 100 coming back, so your total return on investment, if they hit their mark, is going to be 177%. That's an annualized return on the investment of 35% is what would be achieved. That's pretty impressive. But let me tell you what caught my eye, and I know I've got clients that asked me to look at this a couple months ago, and I have to admit, I did not do justice to some of my commentary at the time. And what's got me thinking now, that when you look at the landscape of possible transactions that are out there, the fact that this gives a preferred return of 7% to all the passives. I had misread that when I first looked at this to think that there was going to be one group that could choose to invest a different amount of money, or they had different upside to get the pref or the preferred return. But no, it's across the passive, the entire group of passives. Correct, Dan? That's how you read that, I believe.
That's the way I read it.
In fact, I think
yes.
You were the one that pointed that out to me, and I have to admit that changes my tune a bit, because what we're saying is, and unfortunately this doesn't get highlighted as well as I would like in the private placement memorandum, and this is why it helps to have at least two sets of eyes looking at these transactions. But what will happen is the passives will get a preferred return of 7%, and then it's only after that point that the promote of the general partner, Pilot Legacy, is 30%. So it's a 70-30 split, but there's a difference in one group, i.e. the passive side, getting a 7% return before, not collateral to, the syndicator getting their 70% promote. That's a realignment of the timing that we like to see. Now, again, it's on a year-by-year basis, or at least that's how I understand that. Is that the same, Dan, that you pick up when you read?
Yes.
When you read that? So, but then there is a provision that talks about when they sell the property that the limited partners get the unpaid balance of the 7% preferred cash flow before they get 70% of the profit on the sell, and that the general partners get 30%. But I'm assuming that the 7 and the 30 percent promote coexist throughout. In fact, if I understand right, on each waterfall throughout on the interim allocations of cash, the 7% pref gets paid, then the I believe there's a split between the 70-30. The 30 gets paid, and then I guess they share 70-30 if there's excess cash on each of those waterfalls.
The way I read it is that if the 7% is accrued, in other words, not cash paid, then it gets paid before the 30% gets paid to the 30% promo gets paid. I mean, the partners are going to get their $277,000. At when it's sold, I mean, it may take a sale time to get all your money there, but that's what they're promoting.
Well, and I just looked at the distribution language in the PPM, and basically, at the end of each fiscal quarter or at such time as the manager deems appropriate in its sole discretion, there will be distributions first to the Class A members, that's the passive, pro rata based on their relative unpaid preferred returns until the unpaid preferred return has been reduced to zero. So that means they're going to get the 7%. Then second, anything remaining will be split 70-30. So I said that right. Actually, it's better than what I said.
Yeah.
It's split at that point 70-30. So that's pretty significant in terms of the timing aspect. But as you point out, Dan, the 277, the 2.77 equity multiple, is kind of the icing that we're searching for, or it's the cake rather. The fact that there's a 7% pref is the icing. This is similar in effect. The numbers aren't nearly the same, but if you look back at the Bayou Park transaction that Medina Sheikh did, Macan Investment, this is the kind of timing realignment that's like music to our ears. I mean, this is what we're asking for syndicators to stop and think of, which is, hey, it's not just about you and the fees. And, oh, they've got fees here. We're going to go over those in a minute. but they're not as horrific. And this syndicator has not been egregious on the fees on the several transactions we've looked at. Let's do this. Let's talk about those fees when we come back. From our last break, let's go ahead and take the break, and we'll come back and discuss the fees and wrap up. But I think this is a transaction that you've really got to take a look at now, since they are still trying to close it out, if you might have thought it made sense earlier on. So we'll be right back with more of the Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the fourth segment of the Syndication Math, the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose. And Dan, before we go into the fees, you made a good point today, or maybe I made it, I don't remember, when we were talking before the show, that the only weakness, well, there's several weaknesses. The bridge debt, like every transaction, to me is a weakness, but that's everybody. I mean, there's not too many syndicators getting agency debt. But I pointed out that I don't like the use of a 4% cap rate 5 years down the road here. And I'm curious if you would like to elaborate on that and why we don't like it, because it's kind of critical to hitting that equity multiple that we're targeting, right? It can have a direct impact.
It's critical to hitting the equity. It's 4% is rather low, considering that interest rates right now are on 10-year loans are approaching, or 10-year U.S. debt is approaching 3.25%. So a 4% cap rate's going to be somewhat low.
Well, I didn't notice. Did you notice what the purchase cap rate was at? I didn't notice. Well, I'm sure it's 4% or less, and that's kind of aggressive to think that we're going to get that out in year five. I don't know. But again, it's a direct impact.
4.7% purchase cap rate. 4.7.
Well, that's based on
year one NOI. 4.7.
Yeah. Well, so it's probably a little bit less than that the actual, you know, at closing. But this is after they've got 1 year of NOI. But regardless, it's aggressive. And so if interest rates go up, you can count on cap rates going up. And obviously the property, or maybe it's not obvious to our listener, but let me just explain, the lower the cap rate, the more valuable each one of those dollars of net operating income are. So the inverse is true. The higher the cap rate, then the value of each dollar goes down a bit. But that is something that would have to be considered. But again, all these issues that we talk about, there's probably not one issue that in a vacuum is a deal breaker. It's a combination of things. We don't really know how to discuss the market cooperation factor other than to tell you, hey, every project is counting on a certain amount of market cooperation, a certain amount of momentum that's developed in each submarket by other operators, by the economy and those submarkets. And you know, when you read these articles that Globe Street and CrowdStreet.com put out, they're always talking typically about the national market, the national statistics, the averages. And all I can tell you is, just like when we talk about average rates of return on any individual client and what they've been able to achieve, none of us are average. We're all actual. And I'm going to suggest to you that the property you invest in and that submarket is all that matters, really, at the end of the day. But anyway, let's talk about our fee burden for a moment, Dan. And I let's see, I've got a list of the fees generally here. There's a 0.5% acquisition fee, as you recall. We don't like acquisition fees, but you know what? At 0.5%, what does that work out to, Dan? The 245, 250, 200.
Yeah, right at 250.
Yeah, so on the size of this transaction, I'm going to suggest to you that that's not a bad scenario, right? So in any event, it's capped. That's a good thing. Property management fees, the normal 3%. Asset management fee is a full percent under the market, call it 50% under the market. Normally it's 2%. There is no exit fee or disposition fee. What else? The sponsor's getting the 30% carry, so 70% of the profits, but that's over the cash flow. And so when you think about it, I'd have to do the math, and I don't have time to do it this second. When you factor in that pref, That's potentially a big deal for the passives if the project doesn't go as planned. And that is cumulative, correct, Dan? That's what we just read. So that's even more investor friendly. Compared to the transaction last week, this is what an investor friendly transaction looks like. So in any event, we think that those fees are within the range, or the within the tolerance of rational when you look at what, you know, most other transactions have. And again, I can tell you there are platforms that would not allow these fees, but then they're going to be sharing the first dollar of revenue or net operating income, let's call it. So, you know, maybe at an 80-20 split, but again, all these competing factors would offset in some way or fashion. And it's likely this transaction, I think, makes the grade in the end. I mean, at least it's going to be positioned to do so. Now, whether or not the economy cooperates, and specifically, I'll tell you this, San Antonio, again, talking about articles, trying to think where the article showed up. I've got it. If anybody wants it, happy to send it to you. That had a discussion about the small, medium, and large metro areas in the U.S., and San Antonio was listed in that top whatever list, top 10, et cetera. The economy over there has picked up. You know, it's pulling back a little bit right now if you look at single-family. Multifamily, I'm not sure has felt the effects yet, but it's happening. So you got to assume that you're going to need a significant market cooperation on this or any other submarket for that matter. Dan, did you have anything to add? We've just got a little less than 2 minutes left.
You know, on the surface, when you've got a guarantee of that 7%, it seems like, you know, no matter what your cap rate is, you've got a guaranteed 7, but you still got to be able to get the cash to get there, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, this isn't a guarantee like you get it regardless. This is a guarantee that if it exists, you get it. And if you don't get it this year, you get it next year. And if you don't get it next year, you get it in ensuing years, even until you get to the end. And so the deck is set to I think it tilts towards the passive. I love to see the timing, and I wish we had 20 more of these type deals, because those would be something we would obviously talk kindly about. Well, listen, we've got less than a minute. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of wrap up here. We like this transaction. It's the bottom line. If you want to work with us to get some assistance in reviewing the transactions you invest in, go take a look at the baplanner.com website, fill out the intake forms, and let's have a phone call. We'll be back this coming Saturday, next Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. And Dan, we thank you for joining this week. We hope you can join us next week. And I hope everybody has a great July 4th holiday.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEB.